Good morning, welcome to the FTS Bits. This is going to be a beauty today. It is an absolute beauty. I find it funny because I lived it, but I'm sure some of you will find it funny. I'm going to share the Jethro story with you later on. I'd forgotten all about it until Sam and I started reminiscing the other day. I've actually rang my mate this morning to clarify a couple of things, because it was a long time ago. It was about 30 years ago, but it's flipping beauty it is. Right, the seminar people, you should hopefully have read a WhatsApp message and your sheet is in, and I will be back from you later on this evening. FTS Ultimate Members Week 2 is done and posted. Obviously, we've now got four leagues in play with Belgium, Bundesliga 2, the Championship, and the Eredivisie. I think all the kickoff times are correct. So that's all done. More time to be alive today, isn't it? Eh? Trump's, as I've put on Twitter, Trump curing cancer and AIDS very soon. Amazing. Just incredible. I mean, the words that come out of that man's mouth, it's what I find most amazing about it. I just saw the link this morning, is that I think there's not a man on the planet, even his biggest based fan, who can't obviously see that the guy is a pathological liar. But when you watch that clip and he comes out with that, we're doing great things in America, we're going to cure the AIDS epidemic and we're going to cure childhood cancer, nobody actually is looking at each other going, what the fuck did he just say? What did he just say? They're all jumping up and down. It's fucking mental. Absolutely fucking mental it is. I'll give you the Jethro story. Let's do the bets then. I'll give you the Jethro story. I think it might brighten up a few people's weekends. I've had a stressful morning, so I thought I'd cheer myself up by recounting it today. I probably won't be able to stop laughing myself as I do it. Right, what are we? 12:38. Horses first. Got time. I didn't know what time was. Horse first. Right, 150 Goodwood, Elizabeth each way. Elizabeth each way. That's quite a decent price. I can't remember exactly now because I didn't write it down, but it's quite a good price. Elizabeth each way at Goodwood. Done well here. I wrote times down and not meeting. 6:35 at Musselburgh. Jabberwocky as a win bet. Don't take any less than 2.75 that. 6:35 at Musselburgh, Jabberwocky. 6:45 at Bath. Charlie D is a win bet. Currently around about 4 there. Again, don't take any lower than 3.75. BSP's projected 386, but a long way to go yet. But don't take any lower than 3.75. Charlie D in the 6:45 at Bath. Trades, 5:05 at Bath. This should go well. They have a chance of winning, I think. Saddler's Beach, 5:05, ridden by Haley. Saddler's Beach in the 5:05 at Bath. 30% to 50% trade on that one. And in the 6:15 at Galway, a 30% trade, top of the chart. 6:15 at Galway. A football trade for you. Obviously, we're going to move into the season, so we'll have more to look at. And tonight, Le Havre versus Niort in French League 2, laying over 3.5 pre-kickoff and then back it in play for 30-40% profit. There is a calculator in the FTS members area, free to download. You just need to go on a profile and register as a free member. I must have said this about 1,000 times this summer. People keep asking me how they get there. Go on to FTS, register, make sure you're registered as a free member, and then in the members area there's a results template. Bottom of that is a download for that, and the download for a calculator. It'll cover these 3.5 trades and also the horses. Just put in the price you've backed at, put in your target, what you want to profit, 25%, 30%, whatever, and it'll tell you what to do stake-wise for your back. So lay over 3.5. pre-kickoff and then back in play to green up. Le Havre versus Niort kicking off at 7:00, I believe. I'll just double check that for you because I've probably got that wrong, but I'm certain it's 7:00. Amazing how you doubt yourself, isn't it? It's kicked off at 7:00 for the last 10 years, Ian. Why would it be any different? Fucking idiot. Right, story time. Let's get into this. Interesting, because I did have an email after my Kenny Dalglish story. I had a few of you Liverpool fans jealous and that. Now I had one bloke saying bullshit. I don't have time to make up shit like this, promise you. It's everything I tell you is true. When I played a lot of golf, I did. You know, I played with royalty. I played with Prince Andrew a couple of times. I played with many a celebrity, Jimmy Tarbuck, Kenny Lynch. I played with loads of different people. Tarbuck's another story. So you just mentioned that's another story. I'll come up with that one one day. And this story, again, relates to his golf orientated, because that's pretty much what I did in my younger years. Went to work and played golf. Well, I didn't even go to work when I was about 18, I think, when this happened. I think it was 1989. My old man got nicked in 87, and I just started doing my A-levels. By the time it all went through courts and everything, we were into 88, 89. He got banged up. My mum, she had a touch of Mrs. Bouquet about her. I can't remember what that programme was called, but the one where the woman's trying to pretend she's something she's not. My mum was a bit like that. We had a nice house in Godalming, private close, and obviously when the old man went inside, all that went up in smoke. And my mum, being the proud Mrs. Bouquet type, she didn't want to show her face in the neighbourhood anymore. So she sold up the house and legged it to North Devon. I stayed up in London, lived in Wimbledon for a bit, Rains Park, Wimbledon, with my brother to finish my A-levels and sort out whether I was going to uni and all that. But obviously, when I was on holiday from college, I went down to North Devon, and I was a good golfer, and I played golf around the southwest. So at that time, I obviously became friends with good golfers down there and a pro. And the Isles of Scilly held, for those of you who aren't golfers, what's known as a pro-am, which is basically a four-man team event where you have three amateurs with a pro. And the Isles of Scilly held one every year. And it was just an awesome event to play. And you had 40 teams, so you had 40 pros out there, all regional local pros. Not the Nick Faldos, but the golf pros from the clubs around there. You had a member of the golf club, of the Isles of Scilly Golf Club, and then we as amateurs could enter, and you'd get put together. So you basically would have a team of a pro, a member of the Isles of Scilly Golf Club, and two visiting amateurs. So a pro that I'd become friendly with, who was a bit of an alcoholic, he said to me, "You want to get in this? This will be really good." Basically invited me to enter it, and I did. It was absolutely fantastic. He invited me to play, and I mean, I ended up playing in this for years. And I have to stress that this story is before I met Sam. I met Sam in my time in Devon in Exeter, but this is before then. So they flew you out by helicopter. Once you'd signed up, paid your money, they flew you out by helicopter to St Mary's, and it was all voluntary. You used the RNLI, I think, is it, those who do the safety helicopters we used to go out on. You just literally, they'd load up your golf clubs in the back and you'd sit around the side, they'd take 10, 12 people at a time and drop us off. So didn't have to pay anything for that. It's fantastic. My sort of first time in a helicopter. They flew us out to St Mary's, and that was a midweek afternoon, and you lived there for two nights. And the islanders, there was no hotels, the islanders moved out of their house. So in effect, Mr. Smith lived next to Mr. Jones, or Mr. and Mrs. Smith lived next to Mr. and Mrs. Jones. Mr. and Mrs. Smith would move in with Mr. and Mrs. Jones for a couple of nights, and we would have Mr. and Mrs. Smith's house. So we could just have a couple of nights kit. Fantastic. I mean, the people there are absolutely fantastic. Lovely, lovely people. So you get out there in the afternoon, you move into somebody's house, you know, you're just given an address and a door key, and in you go. And then that evening is a gala dinner. So we've gone and had a couple of drinks in the pub, got changed and gone up to the golf club for this gala dinner. And you'd sit in round tables, and basically it was just a gala dinner piss up. And then at the end of it, they had an auction for the pro. You didn't know what pro you were going to play with. You, as a team, you bid. So you'd find your other two team members, the member, the other amateur, and you try and decide who you wanted to play with, and you would bid for that pro. And obviously this auction didn't take place till sort of half 10, 9 o'clock, and you used to look around and see the pros who were getting pissed and that. And obviously it depended how much money you had. I didn't have a load of money, so I couldn't go in. There was one pro who'd been in a car accident. He was actually quite a good player, but he'd had a car accident as an amateur years before. After that car accident, he'd never had a drink, so he was teetotal. So he always went for the most money, and pretty much won it most years, to be fair. I think he won it something like 3 out of 6 years. So he was like the guy everybody was aiming to get because he was the good player who wasn't drinking. But everyone else joined in the spirit, and the whole night just descended, if you were that way inclined, into a complete and utter piss-up. I was new to drinking at the time. You know, I was only a young lad, and the old man had been banged up, so I'm having a beer. That was in a sort of appealing way to get through life. So once this auction's out of the way, people have started dispersing, and my mate, who was a golf pro, he did love a drink. I mean, he'd have been last to leave anywhere. So we've ended up at the bar late. Don't know what time, genuinely. Could have been 11, could have been 12. And there's only about 6 of us left. And 2 of them are Jethro, who was a keen golfer. Was. I don't know, we're not on speaking terms anymore, as you'll find out in a minute. But he was a keen golfer. And his manager or booking guy, and Jethro, was playing in the pro-am, and then he was meant to be doing after the prize giving on the following day, doing a little 10-minute, you know, stand-up of whatever he did. So we're talking, we're at the bar, this is like the night before the pro-am, still at the gala, dinner's finished, we'd had the auction, and a few of us left at the bar, and him and his manager are 2 of them, me and my golf pro mate are 2 others, and a couple of other locals or whatever, couldn't even remember who the other people are. We're talking about golf and in particular golf courses, and Jethro's slagging off a course in Wiltshire, in Cowan in Wiltshire, called Bowood, which is actually a good golf course, and I'd played it a good few times, and it was a decent golf course, good setup. And I'm listening to him through this sort of half drunken haze, and he is banging on about it, and me being me, I tend to say what I think without engaging the brain at times. I can't help myself, I've started disagreeing with him. So now for 4 or 5 minutes, me and him are having a bit of a ruck, and it's getting louder. And got to bear in mind, I was a young lad, and I was probably, you know, full of myself a bit. I was a scratch golfer. And I ended up saying something like, and I'll clarify my mate, something like to him, you know, I don't get what you're talking about and what you're saying about this golf course. You know, it's a good test of golf. What do you play off? To which I was expecting the reply, sort of low single figures, by the way he was talking. But he came back and said 18. And that was it then. I just went into one. I went, 18? 18? You can't even fucking play the game. You're fucking useless. You're slagging off a golf course and you can't even fucking hit it. The way you're talking, I thought you were fucking 1 or 2 handicap. You're fucking shit, mate. And I've gone on like that, like I do in my little rants. And not content just to leave it at golf, I've sort of gone on like that. And you've got to bear in mind, this is when this guy was on telly, you know, Des O'Connor show, late 80s. You know, he was big. He was big on ITV, certainly. I remember seeing him on Des O'Connor show and things. And not prepared to leave it at the golf, I went, and forget the golf. I went, you're not even fucking funny. Your fucking jokes are shit as well. Well, it's all fucking kicked off then. His manager's starting to fucking want to kill me. He's effing and blinding at me. And my boss, and well, not, he was my pro, if you like, whatever, decided that enough was enough and best to get me out of there. So this next part is cringe. We have left the golf club in this ruckus where I've slagged Jethro off for 5 minutes and told him he's a bellend, not funny, can't play golf. And no cabs, we're walking. We've walked down from the golf club, from what I remember, downhill into St Mary's Town. And we walked down, and the first thing we found is, you know, the first pub we've come in, we've gone in. And in there, there's some guys who are playing in the Pro-Am. And they're from Middle-earth. They're from Wolverhampton. You know, they can't just say Wolverhampton. They have to fucking add a few vowels and stretch it out. And I've gone in there, and we've started drinking with them. And I just remember drinking brandy and Lovage. They were drinking brandy and Lovage. And we were drinking that and knocking them back. And there's some locals in there playing pool, and I stress this is before I met Sam, and I've started chatting up one of the females there, and one thing has led to another. Bear in mind, I'm an 18-year-old lad, and she was a bit older than me, and we've gone back to the house where we were staying, and while some of you I can't believe I'm sharing this while some of you who have met me may cringe at the mental image. And I've stated in previous podcasts that men always claim to be good at three things: driving, sex and poker. I am making no such claims about that night by any stretch of my blurred memory. It was a fucking disaster. I just remember it being a disaster, and there was skin and hair everywhere. I don't even want to remember. I think this is why I've never brought this up, because I just wanted to black that out. And this gets worse, by the way. I remember walking her back somewhere. Can't remember what did. I remember walking her back. I remember staggering around the island and finding the house. And by now, it's early hours of the morning. I haven't got a clue what's going on. So I wake up the next morning. My team's teeing off about 11 o'clock. My mate, the golf pro's come out of the shower, pissing himself, laughing. "You were some boy last night," he's saying to me. "You were slagging off Jeffro." Apparently, I was having a go at the Middle Earth boys in the pub, but I can't even remember any of that. Apparently, I was giving them a load of shit. And I just felt fucking awful. So we go up, we get showered and changed. I don't know what it is now, 9 o'clock, playing at 11. Go up the golf club, have some breakfast, get some tea, coffee inside, get some water, start to try and feel better. And I sat at the table, me and him at the sat of the table with a couple of other guys, a couple of guys he knew, having breakfast. And the guy who's the islander I'm playing with, I can't remember his name, I think it was David, but I can't remember. Bearing in mind, I'd sat with him at dinner the night before, but he comes over to say hello, Ian, morning, how you feeling? Oh, I feel dreadful, mate. And next to him is a young lady, and he says to me, "Ian, this is Helen. She is my fiance, and she's going to be caddying for me today." Well, Helen turned out to be Helen the skin and hair from the night before, and me and Helen are now don't know where to look or what to do. From about 6 hours previous, and I'm cringing now. It was one of the most awkward moments of my life. My golf pro mate is pissing himself, and I've just gone, "Hi, Ellen, nice to meet you." Fuck my life. I've now got to walk 4 hours around the golf course with her. Oh, fucking, it was awful. No wonder I blacked it out. This ain't the end of it. So that was just a horrendous moment of my life. So then on the golf course, we'll get on the golf course. I'm a bit of a shambles. I'm not particularly playing well. I've got flipping her walking around with me, and I've got and I'm hungover. So the golf course is lovely, but it's obviously they're limited for room. You talk 9 holes are silly. It's not very big. It's 9 greens and 18 tees, and they're all close together. So you're bumping into groups coming from other holes and things all the time, having to wait on shots. But it's lovely. And I've teed off the second time round. I've teed off this hole in front of the clubhouse, and I've teed off down there. And I'm walking up to my ball when I see this figure walking the other way, and there's two balls fairly close together. And the figure the other way, who is it? It's my fucking Cornish mate, fucking Jethro. So the balls are close together, and he's going to get to his before me. So as he comes up, I do the sort of courteous thing, and I wave for him to play. You know, like when you wave people through as a driver, that's what you do on the golf course when you go ahead. And I've sort of stepped to the side 10 or 15 yards, and my eyes are just fucking boring into him. And I watch the practice swing, and it's fucking dreadful. And I'm tittering already to myself watching this practice swing. And he sets up to it, takes this almighty fucking great swing. He's a left hooker, plays left-handed. So he takes this fucking great almighty left-hand swing. They look awkward anyway, but this fucking fat Cornish bloke looked like he couldn't play. And sure enough, he must know it's me. He catches the ball, he catches the ground about 15 inches behind the ball. He's trying to hit fairway wood, and he hits the ground behind the ball a good 12, 15 inches. I think the divot moved the ball, not the club. And the ball scuttled along the yard floor about 10 yards. I can't help myself. I just fucking burst out laughing. I'm saying to myself when he's lining up, don't laugh. And he does that, and I could not fucking help myself. I just burst out laughing loud. And this is gospel truth. He picked his ball up and started walking back to the clubhouse. Right, the clubhouse was 150, 200 yards away, and he's just started walking straight towards the clubhouse. So I'm tittering away down the fairway. By the time we finish our round, you know, we had 9 holes to go, I think, or 8 holes to go. We finish our round, so it's another hour and a half, couple of hours that we're out there. And get in, and he's fucked off home. He's gone. He's got the hump. He's got the hump with me so much that he's left the island. I promise you, he left the island, and for years I was known as the man who made Jethro leave the Scilly Isles. He never ever came back and played in it again. I got shit from the club captain because he didn't do the obviously couldn't. There was no one to do the bit after the prize giving, and yeah, he fucked off. That is gospel truth. And I'll be honest, I became a fucking legend there. I went for a good few years and I became an absolute legend. It was one of the best things I've done in my life was going over and playing, and that was brilliant. But that very first year, what I've just told you is exactly what happened. It was fucking brilliant. The only thing I did in following years was avoid Helen. I have no idea whether her and her bloke got married. To this day, I have absolutely no idea. But there you go. That's a true story. There, leave you with that one. I reckon that's going to brighten up a few people's Fridays. We have a lovely weekend ahead. Football. Now, my working week, in effect, for doing things FTS, gets cut down to 3 days a week, pretty much, because Friday to Monday, I'm fairly indisposed at the old computer betting and trading. But, yeah, it's the sun shining. Have a lovely weekend. I hope you enjoy that story. There are others. The Jimmy Tarbuck one, I was mentioning his name, but it's not as funny as that. It's a short one, that. But I'll bring that up sometime. I won't bring them all out at once. We'll add them on over we go. We've got plenty of podcasts left. Have a lovely Friday. All right, bye.